I'm assuming you guys are aware of what the Heinz people did to this city.
Yes. I'd heard, yes.
Vic, I'm assuming you heard about it?
I had not heard yet.
Heinz rolls out Chicago dog sauce to trick ketchup-adverse Chicagoans. Every city has its own unique culinary delicacies and quirks, but few rival Chicagoans and their utter refusal to put ketchup on hot dogs. That's why ketchup purveyor Heinz rolled out a quote-unquote Chicago dog sauce for National Hot Dog Day. Made specifically for Chicagoans, the sauce, which Heinz said is, quote, made with delicious red ripe tomatoes, a special blend of spices and flavorings, but it's really just ketchup in disguise. To try and prove the Chicago residents that a hot dog topped with ketchup isn't all that bad, Heinz, whose parent company is headquartered here and in Pittsburgh, recently gave the city's locals a chance to try the sauce. While some were upset when they realized that they'd been duped into putting ketchup on their hot dog, many admitted to actually liking the addition of ketchup as to the usual condiment combination. A 14-ounce glass bottle of the limited edition sauce can be purchased online at chicagodogsauce.com for $5. They're milking people at $5 for a bottle of ketchup? Really? Seriously? The product launch is being supported with a campaign that includes print and out-of-home advertising as well as product sampling throughout Chicago, including Wrigleyville Dogs and Kim and Carlos Hot Dog Cart outside of the Field Museum. Wrigleyville Dogs is actually participating in this? Seriously? They're putting ketchup on hot dogs at Wrigleyville Dog? I will never go there again. So there was a commercial that they did, right, Dan, with, like, hidden cameras, where they had a whole bunch of Chicagoans, and they said, hey, here's this special new Chicago dog sauce.
That is correct. I don't know what hot dog place they went to, but it's at a restaurant. It also looks like they served it at, like, a street festival.
All right. We have some audio on this.
You don't put ketchup on a Chicago hot dog, ever.
To put ketchup on a hot dog, it's just absurd to me.
The Chicago style hot dog is mustard, relish, onions, tomatoes, pickles, sport peppers, and a dash of celery salt. Nothing more.
We have two exceptions. If you still have training wheels on your bicycle, we put ketchup on it. The second one is we don't argue with pregnant women.
Wait, is the Chicago sauce the red stuff?
It's Heinz's new Chicago dog sauce.
I don't think I've ever seen anything this red on my hot dog before.
That works on a Chicago dog with all the other toppings on there.
Tastes good. Amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
With the dog sauce?
Yes, I got the Heinz dog sauce.
What if I told you that Chicago dog sauce was actually just ketchup?
This is normal ketchup.
This is ketchup!
Flip the table.
But I don't know if I can finish it now that it's got ketchup on it.
Don't tell my dad about this.
To me, it makes it a lot better.
I'm not going
to
stop eating it because it's got ketchup on it. I'm not a psychopath.
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't mind adding ketchup to the Chicago style hot dog.
I could definitely eat another one.
You're challenging people's identities out here, man. This is dangerous.
Okay, I'm open-minded. If people want it, sure, we'll have it.
So,
we'll have your special sauce.
Here's my question. How the hell did these people know it wasn't ketchup? Or it was ketchup. How did they know that how did they think it wasn't ketchup?
It? What? Oh, before?
Yeah. I mean, if you put it on your hot dog, you go, no, I'm sorry, this is ketchup. And they said that it was made from delicious red ripe tomatoes and a special blend of spices and flavorings. That's ketchup. That's ketchup, folks. That's the description of ketchup. I mean, if they would have actually brought one to me and said, hey, you want to try this sauce? And then what is it? And then they said, it's red ripe tomatoes with a special blend of spices and flavorings. I would say, no, because that's ketchup, and it's not going on my hot dog. So leave. So, well, anyway, they got a ton of publicity out of this, and they're charging $5 a bottle for Chicago dog sauce, which is basically just ketchup. So that's a marketing publicity stunt, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Some of the more memorable ones, some that went well, some that weren't good, some that just didn't work. This actually did work. I mean, I think the Heinz people are a bunch of jerks, but it did work. They got a ton of publicity out of it, and they get to charge a lot of money for a bottle of a ketchup that's labeled a Chicago dog sauce. So are people buying this? Are they buying this because, you know, it's just ketchup, but now it's a collectible because the label says it's Chicago dog sauce? I guess that's why people are buying it.
I don't think anyone's going to buy it.
Yeah, no one from this city is going to buy it. So I just don't. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I I can't believe people would go, oh yeah, let's put this stuff on my this stuff that's sounds exactly the description sounds exactly like ketchup, and oh, it looks exactly like ketchup, but I'll put it on my hot dog and eat it anyway. What are you, dumb? What? So anyway, it was a marketing stunt and it worked. They got a ton of publicity. It was all over social media yesterday. Today is National Hot Dog Day, the 19th, and we know because we had the Prime Minister of Hot Dogs on with us a couple of weeks ago. What is he, the Prime Minister of Hot Dogs, right?
No, the Prime Minister of Hot Dogs is the guy who works across the street from your auto.
Oh, my auto. Yeah, that's right.
The president of the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
Okay. All right. I get confused. All right. So think about some crazy marketing scams or stunts or publicity stunts that some paid off and some didn't. And one of the more memorable ones. Call us up. Text us right now, 312-981-7200.
In the big rock candy mountains, you never change your socks. And the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats and the railroad bulls are blind.
Well, it's official.
There's a lake of stew and a whiskey tin.
We have potheads listening this morning.
In a big canoe in the big rock candy mountains.
It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! 773 area code, Big Rock Candy Mountain from the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. The only good thing about that movie is its soundtrack. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Heinz Ketchup Company just pulled a stunt for marketing and publicity, and it was they created this stuff that they called Chicago Dog Sauce, tricked a bunch of people into putting it on their hot dog. And the people not knowing, extraordinarily dumb people not knowing it was actually ketchup. And they got a lot of publicity on it. So I wanted to talk about some of the big marketing stunts or publicity stunts from the past. And the first one, see if you guys remember this one. This was a strange one. Esmeralda, you remember when the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie came out?
Oh, yeah.
And it was they thought it was like a Boston bomb scare.
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
So here's what they said. I totally forgotten about it until I was looking you know, doing some research on these marketing things, and this one was considered a bust. In a January 2007 attempt to create guerrilla marketing promotion for Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Turner Broadcasting Systems Cartoon Network commissioned backpack-sized devices with wires on the back and lights on the front capable of displaying moving picture image. They were placed at various spots in Boston University, and many people took them for bombs. Boston officials said that they had as many as 38 of the devices were planted in key spots around the city, but it only took the discovery of a few in a train station, hospitals, and on bridges to cause a panic, sending Boston police's bomb squad out on full alert. Boat traffic was blocked from Boston Harbor, and the Pentagon had the U.S. Northern Command in Colorado Springs monitoring the threat. Devices were also planted in 9 other major cities, including New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. As soon as the mayhem erupted, Turner gave the locations of all the devices to authorities and instructed the third-party marketing company it had contracted that the stunt should end immediately. CNN quoted Boston-based Congressman Ed Markey as saying, "It would be hard to dream up a more appalling publicity stunt." He added, "Whoever thought this up needs to find another job." Indeed, Jim Samples, general manager of Cartoon Network, resigned in wake of the promotion. Yeah, that was dumb. The movie rules, but that was dumb. And I remember when that. I remember when that happened. So you remember, Esmeralda?
I do, because I was in college, mm-hmm. and everyone wanted one.
Everybody wanted one, yeah.
So people would go looking for them. And actually, V told me that after the fact, he almost bought one on eBay.
Is that right?
But it was very expensive.
I bet it was.
I
bet it would be a lot of money, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, it was dumb. I don't think they thought about the consequences. I know they were trying to think outside of the box, because that's what Adult Swim does, because they... I just picture everybody who has ever worked for Adult Swim sitting around a table blowing a bunch of weed and then going, "Hey, I think this is a good idea."
I mean, I thought it was cool, but yeah, no, it didn't.
No, I think they should have thought.
It
I mean,
does
I
look like It does look shady if you have no clue what it is.
Well, yeah, if you're not familiar with the show, you're not going to know what it is. You're going to freak out.
Of course.
And that show didn't have 80 million viewers. So it wasn't, I mean, it was a cult show. I mean, I knew what it was because I watched the show, but they should have thought about that. They should have thought about that because, you know, on paper, it's like, oh, that's cool. That would be a cool way to promote the movie. But then you go, well no, because they do look weird. They look shady and people might think it's a bomb. And that's exactly what happened. I remember, you've seen the movie, Esmeralda?
A long time ago.
Okay. I remember, Dan, do you ever watch Aqua Teen?
Nah, maybe one episode once. Right.
It's not for everybody. Certainly. Well, I think it's genius. I think Aqua Teen Hunger Force is genius. But I remember going to see that movie, and my ex-wife, who was just my girlfriend at the time, my ex-wife and I both love Aqua Teen. I'm a shake. I'm a shake guy. I enjoy shake. She was Meatwad. Loved Meatwad. Who was your favorite, Esmeralda? Do you have a favorite?
Meatwad.
Yeah. Mine was shake and Carl.
Talk about jerks.
Yeah, oh, I know, but and Carl. Carl was the king. Carl was the best. But anyway, do we have to break here? Oh, we do. All right. I'll tell you about it afterwards. I just remember sitting in the audience, Esmeralda, with a bunch of people who I don't think had ever seen it before, watching the movie, just baffled. Just completely, completely baffled. All right, we got a break. More dumb or great marketing and publicity stunts. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday continues, and Wild Card Wednesday, everybody.
Now I know they're messing with you.
Yeah. 773 area code requests Nat King Cole the Christmas song in honor of Christmas in July happening next week. What does that mean?
The sales.
Oh, really?
July 25th is a big sales day. It's Christmas in July.
And I know that the term Christmas in July, I didn't know that they had it was a thing. All right.
Yes, it is.
I was not either.
Yeah. I think the Wendella Boat Company gives away free rides. At least they used to on Christmas in July.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it Christmas in July?
Because it's on the 25th and it's halfway in the
year. I see. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Great. Don't they start playing Christmas songs on one radio station in this city next week? Don't they? Regularly into rotation. Don't they start around July 25th and then continue all the way through the new year? Is that one radio station that does that? Hey, when is Walgreens going to put out their Christmas stuff? That's got to be soon too, right?
I saw some walking through the Pedway the other day.
Are you kidding me?
They weren't up. They were not up, but I looked into a window.
Yeah.
They had some crepe paper over this window. I looked in.
Tom?
I was curious. What's back there? I looked through the hole, and they're already storing Christmas decorations in there, Christmas trees, and
well, that's probably a storage room, Vic.
Yeah, I know, but
all right.
Well, that could be. I did not think of that.
Yeah.
Was there also people in it?
No, there
were staring off with dead eyes. Those were mannequins.
No mannequins in there.
Oh, man. All right. Enjoy your Christmas in July. There you go. That's a marketing stunt right there. Look at how that fits in with what we're talking about. Publicity and marketing stunts. There it is right there. Christmas in July. This is why we won an award, Dan. That and Vic likes to look into other people's windows. It's a very important part of the show.
I'm pretty sure mannequins come alive for Vic.
Just because he's Vic Vaughn.
Because he's Vic Vaughn.
Yeah.
Were those movies based on his life?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I need to rewatch that.
No, you don't.
No?
No.
Those movies rule.
No, they don't. They're terrible.
The first one.
They're terrible.
Was it Andrew, what's his face?
Andrew McCarthy. And then the second one was William Ragsdale from Fright Night.
I didn't know they made a second
one. They did.
What was the girl in the first one?
Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City. And then the second one, you know, in the second one, Esmeralda, you know who the mannequin chick in the second one was?
No.
Christy Swanson.
Why did I know that?
The original Buffy. Yeah. They couldn't get Andrew McCarthy to come back. They couldn't get James Spader to. James Spader's the best part of that movie.
Wait, what about what's it?
Yeah, Misach Taylor.
Yeah.
Well, he's in both of them. That's the only one that they could get back. Did you know that he gets cut in half by an elevator cable in Damien Omen 2? If you ever want to see the dude from Designing Women get cut in half, right down
whenever
the middle.
Whenever I get angry at him?
Yeah. What? It's fantastic. It's a great. It's the best scene in the whole movie.
By the way, you are going over quickly the fact that Dan and I are like Wonder Twins.
About the mannequin?
You knew what I was just talking about when I said, what's his face?
What's his face?
Whereas Vic and Esmeralda have coffee talk, we have Misach Taylor.
Oh, is that what you do?
Through our minds.
Yeah. You big Designing Women fans, are you?
Who isn't?
Who was the breakout star?
Delta Burke.
Delta Burke, that's right. And wasn't she on some show where she was like a mayor or something? Like after Designing Women was over, wasn't she was she on like Veep, like a Veep like show? I think she was like a politician or something. And it was called like Office Lady or something. I don't know no idea. But anyway, if you want to see him, you guys are the president of the Misach Taylor fan club. He passed away, didn't he?
Misach.
He passed away, I think, didn't he?
I will look that up.
I think he did. It was young, too. It was a shame. But if you want to see him get cut in half, rent Damien Omen 2. The quality kill. He's in an elevator. The elevator. And it takes place in Chicago. He gets killed in an elevator, cut in half by a cable in the Field Museum. It's fantastic.
Does a mannequin take place in Chicago, too?
Does it? I don't remember. I've only seen it once. Why would I even?
On Michigan Avenue, doesn't it?
It's a shame.
What? What's wrong with you people? What man? You're defending the mannequin series? There may have been a third one that went straight to video.
So. Wicca, he only lists the sequel, Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Mannequin 2 on the Move. All right. Well, there you go. Let's get back to these marketing stunts here. All right. We got a bunch of people on the line here. Let me get to some phone calls, and then I got more of the marketing stunts. You know what else is also on here, a publicity marketing stunt that's gone wrong? Disco Demolition is on here. July 12th was the 38th anniversary of, I think that's right, 38th? Yeah, 79? That'd be 38 years, yeah. So that's on here, the Disco Demolition, and we got more publicity and marketing stunts. Here's Ted on WGN. Hey, Ted.
Yeah, hey, Nick. One thing I could think of about a few decades ago, maybe around 30 years ago, Burger King came out with something called the Burger Bundles, I believe it's called. They're like miniature hamburgers. I guess they were trying to compete with White Castle or something. I don't think this lasts very long, though.
Maybe I'm remembering this wrong. Were they perforated?
I think so.
They were like connected. They were, and you could like, I remember that, Burger Bundles.
But I believe that's what it was called, either Burger Bundles or Burger Bites, but I'm almost certain it was Burger Bundles.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it's Burger Bundles, and I absolutely remember it, and I don't know why I think that they were perforated. Like, you got, like four of them, and they were perforated together. Is that right, Dan? Am I right?
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, they were all put together. They were later re-released as BK Burger Shots.
BK Burger Shots later. But they at first the burger bundles were connected. They were. I just remember them being perforated for some reason. That appealed to me.
Yeah, I don't think it lasted long, though.
No, I don't think it was a big hit. All right, Ted, thank you, man.
All right, thanks again.
Take care. All right. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick, everybody. How you doing?
All right.
Real quick, Damien Omen, too. It was not the Field Museum. He was a doctor. Remember, he discovered Damien's true identity. He was at the hospital.
Oh, he was at the hospital. Yeah, because they probably don't have, like, an elevator capable enough to cut somebody in half at the Field Museum.
No, they just got professors that turn into giant monsters and have to eat part of your brain.
Yeah, that's right. That would be the relic, yes.
Yeah. Might have had Woody Tom Sizemore, you know. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of quality kills in that movie, by the way. A lot of quality kills. The ad campaign, and I know this has been discussed before, those stupid, gross, nasty sponge monkeys from Quizzes.
I love them.
You love them?
I loved the Sponge Monkeys from Quiznos.
No.
No, most people hated them. I remember when they were popular, when those ads were running, I used to play the audio on the show all the time and talk about how I loved them, and people would call up and get so mad.
Well, maybe if they were advertising something else other than things that are going to go into your stomach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, those ugly things did not make me want to suck.
People freaked out.
They were advertising something else.
No, people freaked out. They completely freaked out over those commercials. Here, listen.
Maybe because we thought they were...
We are the stars! Because they are good to us! The Quiznos stars! They are tasty, they are crunchy, they are warm because they toast them!
That's the best part.
New Santa Fe.
That's the best part.
They got a pepper bar.
That's the best.
I mean, yeah, if it was something else other than food.
All right.
Yeah. We thought they were made out of sponge monkeys. Like, wine.
Yeah.
Crap. Yeah. When they did the lettuce ones, you know, where the guy comes up and he pours a bunch of money on people's subs and just to bribe them into saying they're like, listen, those were good. But
yeah.
Sponge monkeys? No.
Okay. All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
All right.
Take care.
You're welcome, man.
I love the Sponge Monkeys. I have a Sponge Monkey t-shirt. I need to pull that out somewhere. Because you know where that started. Dan, you know where that started, right?
Where's that?
The Sponge Monkeys.
Yeah, no, where is it from?
It was an internet thing. And it was somebody just animated it. And it was We Love the Moon.
We Love the Moon!
That's how it started. It was like this weird little internet short, you know, like cartoon thing that somebody put together. And then Quiznos was like, hey, this is great. Let's pay these guys and use them as our spokespeople.
It's a guy from, he's from the UK.
The guy who put it together?
Yeah, I used to follow, he was part of this newsletter that I used to follow. And it was just a bunch of internet things.
Yeah.
Called technically it said beta, but it was B3TA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, that's where it came from.
Because he did a bunch of other stuff, too.
Yeah.
A bunch of other, like, animated. He did cats.
Right.
He did all these kittens that were, like, crowd surfing and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that. The early days of the intranet and the social media. So, yeah, my t-shirt, by the way, Esmeralda, is one of the Sponge Monkeys, and he has a thought bubble next to him, and it says, "We love the moon." That's what my t-shirt is.
Wow.
I loved it, man. I thought they were the best. Boy, do people hate it. I remember, man, oh, man, people would call up. They'd be so pissed. And Andy would have to. Andy was like, can you stop playing that audio, please? Because I had a cart. Remember carts? Remember those things, Dan? I had a cart with the drop, with the sound effects on it. And Dan would go, stop it, because everybody is calling. And yet you don't have to deal with these people who are calling in, yelling at me about you playing. Because they would call them rats. They're like, these little rats selling subs.
They got a pepper bar!
It's the greatest.
We must be strong and brave. Our home we got to save.
Ugh.
If we don't, in just 1 year, Mother Earth will disappear. Fighting with the Gamelons, we won't stop until we won. Then we'll return.
Wildcard Wednesday continues. Wildcard Wednesday. The 905 area code wanted to hear the Star Blazers theme song from the show The Star Blazers. There's a ratings champion. in television history. The star placers. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? Here till 5 a.m. And we're talking about marketing stunts, some that were good and some that were bad, and publicity stunts and stuff like that. How about this one? Nathan's doc-approved dogs. Nathan's Famous is arguably the nation's best-known hot dog chain, all grown from a single restaurant in New York's Coney Island. But it wasn't always that way. When immigrant Nathan Handrecker, an employee at the very successful Coney Island fast food eatery Feltman's, went out on his own and opened a competitor, he had problems. First, he tried to undercut his old boss on price, but only succeeded in making customers skeptical of the quality. Next, he tried hiring bums to stand around and make his place look busy. But the public saw through that.
I've heard this.
I don't know why I find this so amusing. Hiring bums to stand around.
This guy was, I mean, the ingenuity. Wait, keep reading. Doesn't he hire eventually?
It says next, depending on which version of the story you believe, he either had the bums dress as doctors or in the more believable and widely offered version, simply offered free food to doctors and nurses when in uniform, which made sense given the proximity of hospitals. Either way, the public quickly came to identify Nathan's with medical professionals, an association Nathan capitalized by erecting a sign that read, quote, "If doctors eat our hot dogs, you know they're good." Today, just the original Nathan sells over 1 million hot dogs each year, and Feltman's is long gone. Is that what you did? You hear the rest of that, Vic?
Yeah, this is the this is where the annual hot dog eating contest
yeah.
is.
Oh held. Yeah. yeah. But I just I love this.
I love those old stories about
he's hired a bunch of bums to stand around in front of the place. That's fantastic. And then I really hope that it was bums dressed as doctors and nurses.
I did too.
That detail I think is funnier than actually bribing doctors and nurses, real doctors and nurses. But that's great. I mean, you know, he puts his old boss out of business because he tells everybody that his hot dogs are healthy. Hey, doctors eat my hot dogs. It's got to be good. They're not bad for you if we've got nurses and doctors and bums. Coney Island, by the way, no shortage of bums. I mean, you could probably have like 60, 70 bums standing in front of the Nathan's hot dogs. Oh, that's funny. All right, before we break for the news, here's Harold on WGN. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
I called about one, but I thought of a few other ones. The Oscar Mayer mobile, been around 81 years.
Yeah, they have an Oscar Mayer drone now. They got a Wiener drone. They do.
Yeah, I know. Bill Veeck, he hired a midget, if I can use that word, to a player, so that way it would make the pitchers hard to find the sweet spot.
Yeah, so they could get walked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He should have hired 9 of them, I imagine. Orson Welles with the War of the Worlds broadcast, which panicked the whole nation.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. That really wasn't a publicity stunt. That was just people not understanding that it was a radio show.
I know, but it was so compelling to people that they actually believed it.
No, they did. Yeah, people freaked out. No question about it.
Home Depot. I don't know if you noticed, but when they there was a documentary on History Channel, I think years ago, when they first opened their first venue in Florida, they got this huge, I don't know, maybe Zare or Sears store or something that had been closed, and they leased it, I believe, and they decided they were going to open up this place called Home Depot that they, you know, and they bought a lot of tools and a lot of lumber and pipes and stuff like that, but once they, and they shelves and everything, and once they got the stuff in there, they realized that this place is so big that they like, we're going to look foolish because it looks half empty. It, you know, it looks like almost like a fire sale or something like that. So actually what they did is they went and rented a bunch of cardboard boxes from a box company and then assembled the boxes and put them up on the upper shelf And when people came in, they were like, "Oh my God, these places got everything."
Well, yeah, there you go. That's the way to do it. A bunch of empty cardboard boxes. That's how it works. Welcome to Empty Box Depot. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up here. Thanks, Harold. We'll be right back. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Wild.
If we were doing a segment on guilty pleasures.
Yeah. You like that song?
I like them.
You like Wilson Phillips?
I do.
I like that song when it was actually first out, like before it became popular.
Oh,
again,
look at you.
Because of Bridesmaids.
91?
Yep.
Right around that time?
Dan, I love how you're so proud about that.
I am very
proud
of that.
I was the first
man,
to like
them
it.
And John Cicada.
Cicada.
Cicada, yeah.
Cicada. Isn't it Cicada?
I think it's Cicada.
No, it's Cicada.
Oh, is it Cicada? I thought he was.
White guys are questioning the two Hispanic
right?
people on the
clip.
I thought he was named after a bug. That's why.
John Cicada. That's someone else. John Cicada.
He only shows up every 15 years.
Every, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on a second now.
Your mind meld.
Hey, Osvaldo. Well, I bet he knew about the pronunciation of John Cicada. Wilson Phillips, Hold On. Remember when they would do Wilson Phillips? They did a bit with Wilson Phillips at the Grammys on SNL, and they had two. They had two women who were like extras. They weren't
who
cast
was
members.
The, was it Chris Farley? That sounds familiar. They had him do like one of those We Are the Worlds.
Yeah. anytime Chris Farley was in drag, it was funny. Anytime. Because he would do that thing with his eyes where he'd smile and then he'd like do the eyelashes.
I mean, my favorite was the one with the Gap Girls.
Oh.
The one where they're eating.
Lay off, I'm starving.
It's the best one.
If you love those fries so much, why don't you marry them?
And then the other ones are like, just cinch it. You
that
just
was,
cinch it.
That was funny, man. That was a funny bit. The Gap Girls, yeah. That was funny. Yeah. That, you remember when Adam Sandler used to be funny? You know? There was a time when Adam Sandler was funny. It was a long, long time ago. All right. How about this one? You remember this? In 1996, Taco Bell set a new standard for April Fool's jokes. Do you remember this?
No.
When the fast food company bought newspaper ads featuring the iconic image of the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, claiming that they had bought the national treasure and renamed it the Taco Liberty Bell. The stunt was sure to generate controversy, which it did, along with hundreds of complaints. But public opinion turned favorable when the joke was explained. In addition, the company got more than 1,000 major media hits.
I love how people got so mad. Like, they really? Come on. I think there would be more, I don't know, safeguards and checks and balances.
Yeah.
Like, not just anyone can buy.
But I remember when they did that, and I thought it was hilarious. But the thing is, in general, pranks and April Fool's Day, I hate it. Because it's just pranks are designed to make someone look like an idiot. That's essentially what it is.
That's
true. And I hate April Fool's Day,
but corporate pranks.
But that was funny, though. The
corporate
taco
pranks are good for the most part. Yeah. They're cute.
The entire exercise was considered such a coup that rival Burger King tried a similar campaign 2 years later, advertising. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to sneeze.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Woo! Wow.
You have to disinfect the other half of the studio.
Somebody bring out the glass cleaner.
Yeesh.
So Vic can look through them.
He's got an easier way of looking. Burger King tried a similar campaign 2 years later, advertising its new left-handed version of the Whopper. You remember that? On April Fool's Day.
What? Oh, okay.
Despite disappointing, that's a joke. Despite disappointing some Southpaws who took the campaign too seriously, the results were viewed as highly favorable. Well, speaking as a Southpaw, I did not take that seriously.
Is that what they call left-handed people?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You've never heard Southpaw before?
No.
Seriously? You've never heard Southpaw? Mm-mm. Well, you know what? You're not a sports fan. So that's probably, maybe that's why. Right, Dan?
Well, she's a secret sports fan. She's just faking.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But that I've she never knows. Heard
this it's term.
A, but it's a sports term. She, I mean, that, the origin of that is sports related.
Oh, you mean in terms of sports? Then yes, I know what it means.
She knows that it traces back to 1885 because left-handed pitchers face south on baseball diamonds because late home plates are typically to the west.
Yeah. No, I knew that.
Okay.
I just didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, when it's a southpaw, and you can use southpaw now. I mean, I think it started out that it was strictly for left-handed pitchers. They would call them, in baseball, they would call
them
southpaws.
Does anybody know who's
No, left-handed? Yeah, now, I mean, I've been called southpaw many times.
Sounds like you're a bear.
From Tennessee.
You're one of those bumpkin bears from the...
Wait, from the Chuck E. Cheese or whatever the hell. What, yeah. Didn't they have their own...
No, they did. I forget. The Charlie
the
Choke.
The bear, the crazy country bear idiots.
Country Bear Jam.
I think it was the Country Bear Jam.
The one I think of is from The Critic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's based on a real thing, Duke. Though. That's based on a real
yes.
thing.
Yes. No, they are.
All right. We got some texts that have come in. Left-handed whopper. You know that's a joke. You know why? Because they don't make anything for left-handed people.
No.
We have to adopt to the domineering right-handed people.
How do they even do that?
What?
Just in the sense of to keep the joke going.
Well, they had the ad campaign. The ad campaign had people holding the burger.
Oh, it was just
in their left hand and going, "Wow!"
Like all the good stuffs.
Yeah.
So you can eat it left-handed.
Yeah. Keith in Kansas said, I'm not sure how much of a stunt it was, but I remember Heinz coming out with green ketchup. They had all kinds of colored ketchup, didn't they?
That wasn't a stunt. That was just trying to marketing.
I mean, it was the same product. It just, they used different dye. Right.
They were just trying to get kids.
I think they had blue and purple and green.
I think, was peanut butter in there? Or no?
Oh, God, I hope
not.
Or
jams. They might have tried to make those different colors, like crazy colors.
Okay. Carrie says, I remember a few years ago when Great America did that Mr. G ad campaign. It was an old guy dancing in the park. No, it wasn't. Some of them are big. I mean.
Oh, okay. I thought these were all.
No. The Taco Bell one was huge.
Yeah, but it kind of went wrong when people started yelling at them.
No, but they got so much attention for it. They got a ton of attention for it.
All attention is.
And Nathan hiring a bunch of bums to stand outside. Dressed up like doctors.
That was a success.
That was a big success.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then they said it was somebody famous. They would reveal it, but they didn't. Rumor was that it was Urkel. Underneath
that
the makeup.
Man is really tall, I think.
Yeah, Urkel is, yeah. But I mean, the only reason they said that, they think it was Urkel, is because the old dude had big, thick glasses and suspenders. That's the only reason they said that.
You know he's wearing makeup, right?
Yeah, it was a dude in old man makeup. He was like a dancer. He was probably like in his 20s because the way that guy moved.
That would be such an expensive celebrity endorsement that wasn't.
Well, I bet it wouldn't be that expensive. I don't think Urkel's appearances go above $250 an hour. That would be my guess.
But I don't think he can do the Urkel because that's probably owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
Because it's ABC, right? They probably own the Urkel name.
Viacom. I just like the at the end of the show when they do that. Viacom. 905 area code says McDonald's selling pizza. Did you ever have McPizza?
No.
They used to have it at the Rock and Roll McDonald's. Well, not the one that's currently there.
Whatever that is.
The
now.
Older one.
Yeah.
Before they tore it down and rebuilt it.
Yeah.
Do you know that I've never been in that McDonald's? I've been to the old Rock and Roll McDonald's like a million times.
Me? No, wait. I've been in that.
I've never been in that one. How long has it been since they tore down the old one, Dan, and built the new? It's got to be 20 years now, right?
Yeah, probably.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's been a while. They have creepy statues in the front.
I know. I've seen. I've walked past it. I know of it.
So
but
frightening.
Yeah. 608 area code says, the publicity thing that I remember the most, even though I never saw it, was the initial insistence that the Blair Witch Project was actual footage of college kids. Listen, let me explain something to you. That was one of the greatest marketing campaigns in the history of film. And it was the first movie to completely take advantage of the internet. Jumped on it early. That movie came out in 1999. And it got buzz through the internet like nothing beforehand. And until the movie actually came out, 80% of the people thought it was real. Like, they thought these three people disappeared and that this is real. Genius advertising, genius marketing campaign. That movie cost no money to make, and it made like $200 million. And it's a, and I know it's a divisive movie because a lot of people hate it. I happen to love Blair Witch. Do you like Blair Witch?
Nah, I'd found out what the whole thing was, so I didn't.
Yeah.
Watching it, I was like, I know it's
well,
fake.
It didn't, but you know, but I mean, I knew it was fake before I saw it, too. I never, I mean, I knew it was like not a real thing, but that movie scared the hell out of me. Blair Witch Project scared the hell out of me. I thought it was, the final shot of that movie is terrifying. One of the greatest final shots in movie history.
I don't get too scared by noises.
I freaked. Yeah, man. I thought it was great.
Unless
I thought it was great.
Really in front of me.
Yeah, I thought it was. And I know that, like, because I know people. When that movie came out, it was like one of my favorite movies in 1999. Way up high on my list that year, like three or four on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And the backlash from listeners was massive. People were like, how could you like that movie? It's so stupid. I'm like, it's very scary and beautifully made and was one of the greatest marketed movies ever of all time. I think everything about the Blair Witch Project is genius. Everything. And that, by the way, was listed as one of the greatest publicity stunts ever by a PR agency for James Herring, who is the co-founder of the PR agency. He chose Blair Witch way up high on the list of best marketing. All right, we got a couple people on the line. We'll get to them in a couple of seconds here, and then we got some more. So, why am I not surprised that somebody chose this damn song?
Is there? I'm assuming there's some sort of news group, or you know, email chain where they all the listeners just get together and go, "What can we request?"
I don't know. This came from the 312 area code.
Like, they all just get together. Like, we're going to do some Wilson Phillips.
312 says, 312 is a huge mannequin fan and requested Starship. Nothing's going to stop us now.
Oh, that's great.
Now, here's the deal, though. I now have a special spot in my heart for that song.
Because of Mannequin?
No.
Okay.
Because of the Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. There is a fantastic scene where they lip sync together to that song, and it's wonderful because it's they play brother and sister in the movie, and some really terrible stuff is happening in their lives. And so Bill Hader, when they were little kids, they would lip sync that song when they were kids. They would lip sync the Starship song, and he's trying to get Kristen Wiig out of a funk. She's in a really bad, sad mood, mm-hmm. So he puts the song on and starts to lip sync it, and she's like resistant. You know, for like a couple of minutes. And then suddenly she jumps up and they do this routine. And it's fantastic. It's a really sweet and funny scene. And, of course, it's Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig, so therefore it rules. So now I kind of like that song.
Hmm.
Just because of that movie.
I was a few days ago annoying V by singing We Built This City.
Oh, my God.
Just all the I would just go, yeah. Just, you know, we'd be eating. We were eating a sandwich. And I was like, you know, the sandwich is delicious. Because we built this city. I would just say built this city like in any sentence.
You know,
be like, come on.
Has
he'd get really mad about it.
Has Skip ever, he's never given us We Built This City, has he?
No.
I don't think it's part of the, we might have to just make
we
that
might,
part.
Okay.
And I only know that one line.
Okay.
We built this city.
That's all you know. We built this city
like,
on rock and
we
roll.
We built this city.
That's it. You just know those, you know the title and that's it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I wish I were you. Because I know the whole song. It's one of the worst songs ever recorded.
V hated that day.
Yeah, I would have too. And Smokey probably hated it too.
Smokey, I mean, she hates everything.
Yeah.
So, nothing new.
Let's see. Mike and Elgin says, I believe the Christmas song was written in July by Mel Torme. I knew it was written by Mel Torme. My good friend Mel Torme, by the way, Dan, as you know. Mel Torme.
You and the Velvet Fog.
Me and the Velvet Fog. Pals. Pals. Did you ever hear the story of me and Mel Torme?
I don't think so.
You know who Mel Torme is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. We have some people on the line. Wade is on WGN. Hey, Wade.
Morning, Nick.
Morning.
I can't recall the actor's name, but he did an ad campaign with Isuzu. He was doing like the pathological liar
thing,
and the disclaimers were rolling across the bottom.
Yeah, David... Joey Isuzu was the character he played. David Leisure. Oh, okay. David Leisure was the actor.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
David Leisure. Yeah, Tony Isuzu. That was Joey Isuzu. That was a funny ad campaign. And they sold some cars.
May lightning strike my mother dead.
Yeah. No, that was a funny ad campaign. All right. Thank you, Wade.
Yeah.
They sold cars with that one, too. Here's Paul on WGN. Hey, Paul.
Hey. How's it going?
All right. What's up?
Hey, listen, I thought of you talk about April Fool's and corporate April Fool's things. I thought of one that went bad a couple of years ago, and it's fairly prominent. It was Google. I'm trying to remember if it was 2015 or 2016. Every year, Google has an annual April Fool's joke, and this one, they added automatically to people's emails in the signature line a little animation of the Minion from the Minions movies of when he's dressed up as the King of England dropping a microphone, a mic drop, and being all arrogant, which is funny to the average, individual, but if, people use Google Mail for business and other serious things, like funeral homes and sensitive emotional things, that automatically now had this horrifically insensitive footer added to their email.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No, it wasn't. And they had to take it down rather rapidly, but damage was done, not very long into it. And the next year's April Fool's joke was incredibly tame. From Google.
Right.
So.
I vaguely remember that, Paul, but that's not a good one. That's a bad idea. Paul, thanks, man. Have a good morning.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. I was just looking up at the TV and they were showing some stuff on Channel 9 and the headline read, Jennifer Lawrence throws up during 1984. There's a production of 1984 in New York.
Oh, okay.
So she threw up, I guess, in the theater.
No.
I'm going to have to look that up online. That's just too intriguing.
Oh, no.
Seriously, I have to find out what happened. Let's find out what's coming up on the opening bell. Here is Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about the business of marijuana. A couple of states have already gone recreational, and they're making a lot of money, revenue from it, from taxes and also creating jobs. We will talk with the Marijuana Business Daily coming up. Also, some storm chasers from the Chicago area will be on with us to talk about severe weather and whether or not we might see some more of it, the business of storm chasing as well. All next on the opening bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
There was also the U2 thing with their album.
Yeah.
When it got on everyone's Apple phone and they hated it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, only now would people bitch about getting something free.
Yeah, but if you don't like it. Well, and the thing is, how does it automatically just appear on your phone? That's what's, to me, the more frightening bit.
Well, no. I mean, but it shouldn't surprise you that people have capability of doing that.
It's true, but they shouldn't abuse it just to put U2 albums on your phone.
No, I don't know. I just think it just shows, like, people, that's for free. The only time people bitch about getting something for free. It's the only time. And finally, real quick, 312 area code says, for Christmas in July, QVC has sales all month, and Hallmark starts selling ornaments.
Oh, for a second, thanks. Said the movies, and I was like, oh, Dan.
No, the QVC has movies now?
No, he's the Hallmark.
Oh, Hallmark. Yeah, well, we already know about that. All right. If you have sports memorabilia, you can get it appraised tomorrow. We're supposed to do that this morning, but we're doing it tomorrow. All right. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. The news is next.